my story is really one of entrepreneurship and having started being a hands-on person, turning wrenches and flying airplanes, and then from that perspective, building a business which really involves collaboration. It involves, in the airline industry certainly, a lot of public and private partnership and collaboration. But it really, from the ground up, gives me an understanding of the economy and of business. And I think, if anything right now, given the stress on the middle class and working people, we need to be electing folks who have real hands-on business experience and understand the role of government, which is huge, and the role of the private sector, which is huge. So, you know, everybody talks about public-private partnership because it sort of has become the catchphrase of the day. I think we want to be electing people to important offices now who have experienced public-private partnership in what I would call an enlightened way.
If you were starting Cape Air today, could you do it? Would it be more difficult?
It would be impossible. First of all, there's a chronic shortage of mechanics and pilots. Part of that is, you know, the mechanic school that I went to become an aircraft technician, you have to go to a 18-month to two-year school. And the school that I started, which was when I was there, a lot of the people at the school were on GI benefits. Those GI benefits have been reduced, and the specific school that I've gone to, that I went to, is out of business now, as an example. And we have a chronic shortage of aircraft mechanics. So just finding qualified, trained people, there's also a huge shortage of pilots now. So just from that perspective alone, it would be really difficult. But the economics of starting a company now are very different. It's not the regulatory burden, it's the economics of it. And when I look at Cape Air as a business now, it scales. We have 80 aircraft now, and we're a big enough company to survive. But starting, you know, entrepreneurship now is a very different challenge than it was 25 years ago.
Is there one overriding issue in your campaign? Jobs, the economy, which are, I guess, are one and the same?
It is the economy. Jobs are important, but it's not just full employment if everyone's working an $8 an hour job. So it's jobs, but it's jobs that actually will provide people the dignity of being able to fulfill what used to be a fairly achievable middle-class family existence, which is, you know, raising a family. If folks want to raise kids and have somebody be a stay-at-home parent, I think that's an important option for people to have. Those aren't options now. So it's not just about creating jobs. It's about creating jobs that are at livable wages and that will build for a bright future. So, you know, for example, I certainly support jobs if what we're building is transportation infrastructure, because that delivers something for future generations. I am somebody who is opposed to casino gambling, because I think those jobs, while they're good for stimulating the economy short term, are not part of a long-term vision for many of us in Massachusetts. So I don't think it's enough simply to talk about job creation. I think it's, are the jobs livable wage jobs, and are we creating jobs that are building a bright future for us?
You're not running against Governor Patrick, since he's not running for re-election, but how would you assess the Patrick years? What would you do differently than the governor did, and what would you do the same?
I think Governor Patrick has done a phenomenal job in just about every area. His priorities, and he articulated them well in his State of the State and his budget proposal, but his priorities have been about building the infrastructure, a lot of what I just talked about, creating good, livable wage, middle-class jobs, focused on education, specifically early childhood education, making higher education affordable to most of the citizens of the Commonwealth, a huge investment in renewable energy and rebuilding our energy grid around a sustainable energy future, biotech and medical. He's just been a real leader in a lot of ways, and I think has a real forward-looking vision. So I would build on a lot of his legacy because I think he's been right on. I think I have a little bit of an advantage in that by the time I take the office, I will have been in the legislature for 4 years. So I've had the ability to understand the legislative process and to build really strong relationships in the legislature, and I think that would stand me well.